Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to love and see each other the way you love and see us. Come on.
My heart is always longed for something more. I searched the stars to knock on heaven's door. Creation grows for God to be revealed. Every wound we carry will be healed. My eyes on the sun, Lord, your will be done.
Thine is the kingdom, yeah. The power, the glory, yeah. Forever and ever, yeah. He finished my glory, yeah. We're singing freedom, our testimony, yeah. We'll be singing forever, amen.
We'll be singing forever,
we'll be singing forever and ever.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, no.
God created you to fly. Listen, don't you know that really you're too big for this planet? You were created for something bigger, something greater. And listen, you cannot get distracted by your right now that you forget your tomorrow. Chandler, Chandler, remind him, Chandler, talk to him.
And if you ever want,
looking like me,
looking
like me,
real quick.
Church.
Live Network, God's great love for us. Tonight, Pastor Carver and I are going to be discussing with you the kingdom economy mindset versus the worldly economy mindset. And the reason we're going to be discussing this is because you are so much more important to people experiencing God in their life than you realize. But before we get started, I'm going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your presence in our life, God. Father, I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit within each and every one of us that connects us as children and brothers and sisters in Christ to one another in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for you showing us how we can benefit from that direct connection to one another through the power of the Holy Spirit in a way that directs us to direct resources, to direct opportunities, to direct energy where it should go so that the body of Christ thrives. Father, allow us to see how important we are to the world being reconciled back to you in a dynamic way as all of this comes to a conclusion where we can look forward to the appearing of your Son. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Now, tonight we're going to be discussing this kingdom economy mindset versus the worldly economy mindset, because many of us find ourselves in a situation where we are so accustomed to functioning according to the worldly economy mindset, we are still looking for opportunities in the world instead of identifying the multitude of opportunities that exist within the body of Christ, where we can allow our time, our talent, and our treasure to have the greatest impact for God by focusing our energy on what God has for us to accomplish by allowing others to experience the goodness of the hand of God through us, by allowing us to be able to minister in ways that only we can minister, to be able to use our time strategically to expand the kingdom and to bring attention to the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ, so that many souls can be won for the kingdom. Now, one of the reasons that this discussion is important is because we are accustomed to going to the bank for money. We are accustomed to going to the Chamber of Commerce for connections and various social and business clubs for connections where we are already connected to the largest, most powerful, most influential organization in the world, the body of Christ. And our Heavenly Father has access to all resources. Not only access, he has direct ownership of all resources. And when we have a need, we have the ability to simply request that need and have it met, because what we're going to do with it is further God's kingdom and allow God's righteousness to be manifested in the earth through our obedience to God and through our actions, through what we do. I want to go to a very powerful portion of scripture that is going to talk about how the church once functioned in this way, where they allowed their kingdom economy mindset to overshadow the worldly economy mindset that existed before the day of Pentecost. So look at what happens here in Acts chapter 2. I want you to go down to verse 40. And in verse 40, it talks about a vital church growing. Look at what it says. It says, "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Now, what I want to point out here is this one passage in verse 44 and 45, which is something other than what we would deem acceptable in the worldly economy mindset. It says that after they were doing all of the spiritual things in order, they were continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They were continuing in the breaking of bread. They were continuing in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul. The fear of God came upon every soul because they saw many wonders and many signs that were being done through the apostles. But then it said, after they saw these spiritual manifestations, the spiritual power, after these thousands of souls were added to the kingdom, 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom, and they were baptized. After all these spiritual things happen, then something physical happens. In verse 44, we see now all who believe were together. They were united. They were together. They had all things in common. And now this goes against our worldly mindset, especially in America. Look at what it says. It says, "And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." So there was no one without need in this Acts 2 church of 3,000 people. This church, everyone had their needs met because those who had much sold what they had and distributed what they had so that those who had little had what they needed. They had what they needed, and no one was without. And in the world, this is unimaginable. This does not make sense. And it says they divided among them their goods and possessions that they sold as anyone had need. And so we see their activities after continuing in the manner that we are supposed to be fellowshipping with one another now. They continued daily with one accord in the temple, right? In the temple daily, and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church those who were being saved. Now, it was the example of their obedience and their response to God and God's presence that allowed real fear and acknowledgement of God to come upon every soul that was saved, because they realized this wasn't just a fad. This wasn't just a social convenience or nicety. This was the manifest power of God on the earth. And what God is looking for now is the manifestation of his power on the earth. One of the things that made me really ponder this particular subject was, why do we go to the Chamber of Commerce? Why do we go to all of these social business networking groups when all we have to do is go to our body of believers and speak with those in charge at the top and let them know what our need is so that our need can be met without all of the traditional channels and methods of being authorized and screened and accepted and promoted, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, whereby we simply buy our way into favor with whoever it is we want to deal with. When you're in the body of Christ, all you have to do is say, go. All you have to do is tap into the promise of the word of God that says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. That's what Jesus Christ said. And it said, what we ask of him, we shall receive. So I want to ask Pastor Carver tonight, Pastor Vanessa, what it is that leads us to thinking we have to go to the world first before we go to the kingdom and one another.
A lot of times I believe this is a topic that we could probably do many parts about, but I believe from, you know, just my perspective is we haven't been taught. There was one of the things that money, right? Money, sex, and what's the other one? That, and what? And these things that are not taught about a lot of times and even seen as taboo. So I think that's one of the areas, but also too, I was thinking of the scripture that said we couldn't serve two masters, and Jesus was speaking in the book of Matthew. I'll come up with the exact scripture text later. But I also thought of, you know, being double-minded and not being able to serve two masters, and knowing that a man that is double-minded cannot please God. And so you can't serve money, and you have to even understand what mammon is. And that goes back to what I said at the beginning, wrong teaching, not enough teaching, not accurate teaching about kingdom building and what kingdom is and what it looks like in a practical way every day, not just on Sunday or Wednesdays or when we meet in church, not in a compartmentalized way. We have to understand the way that God designed for us and the body of Christ to work together. So I think it has to do with not enough accurate teaching. People just lean to their understanding, and it's almost by default that people begin to serve mammon and not even realize what that is.
One of the scriptures that speaks to what they were doing in Acts chapter 2 in Acts 2 church when they had 3,000 souls who were won to the kingdom was discussed in Philippians chapter 2 verses 1 and 2. They were in unity. Look at what it says here in Philippians 2, 1 and 2. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy and be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. And see, when we are focused on the kingdom and we are united, when we are together, when we don't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, and we're being torn because our allegiances are split, our allegiance between our need to earn a dollar and our need to serve God are often compromised because we were trained so long to do life the way that it is done in the world, to please people, to serve money, to lean to our own understanding and operate out of our own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. We have been trained so long in that system, in that worldly economy mindset, that it is difficult to adjust to what it means to serve God instead of serving money. Because God says you can't have two masters, you got to choose. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve money. Then he says, you're not going to please man and please me. You got to choose. You're going to please God or you're going to please people. Because, see, God tells us that it is a special type of bondage to be in a position where you are pleasing people. You never want to be in that situation. You always want to be in a position to say yes to God, no matter what people say. And there are times when God is going to give you a green light to sow into certain people's ministry, sow into certain people's lives. And then God is going to give you a red light to say, do not give that person a dime. They will destroy themselves with it. Do not give that person a dime. It will take them off course from what I have for them to do. And you can be led by the Spirit confidently instead of by your own understanding. See, because when we lean to our own understanding, that is also a type of bondage because we are limiting our knowledge base by not tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us access to word of knowledge, which is what we need to know that we could only know through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are not tapping into word of wisdom, which is what we need to do that we can only know through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we are not engaging discerning the spirits, which allows us to understand what spirit we are engaging when we are encountering resistance in the world as we are doing what God is asking us to do. So when we get to the place where we understand how real the power of the Holy Spirit is in our life, then we are no longer limited to how God can use us, because that's what he gave us the power of the Holy Spirit for, is to use it, is to be more than conquerors, is to live a more than abundant life, spiritually first, then mentally, then emotionally, then financially, or then physically, then financially, last. But when you are in that place that you have learned God's system and God's way, then you identify those other people in the body of Christ who do not yet understand how this works. And you begin sowing into their life. Now, I'll share with you an example of this, a very practical example, a very small example. I was raising my children, all six of them, and we were taking them all to church when they were real young, and we had the twins and and their car seats and carrying the baby girl and the three older kids could sit in the seats next to us, and we all took up a row in the sanctuary, and it was fascinating, because that carrying the kids and carrying the car seats and all the rest of the tugging and moving, it wears on suits. Your suit looks like you've been carrying around car seats and babies. And so people would talk about you. They'd be like, look at that guy and his suit and his this and his that. And this is in church, right? And then this deacon, he responded as God calls us to respond. And this one day, instead of talking about my suits, he comes up and he puts $500 in my hands and says, get some suits. And, you know, after he obeyed God, then I had to obey God, because if I had leaned to my own understanding, I would have looked at all of the other requirements, all the other needs that a young family has at that moment, and said, how can I justify getting $500 in suits? But at the time, you know, that would have been me leaning to my own understanding and disobeying God, and that would have brought judgment upon me. And so I obeyed God, and I bought the suits, and God blessed. And see, obedience to God is learning not to lean to our own understanding, so that we don't let money direct our decisions. And when we go into a room, when we are seeking opportunities, when we are doing business, we are never alone. We might not come in with our whole business team of our lawyer and our accountant and our other key advisors. It might just be us and God. And that's always more than enough, because it's not just you and God. It's you and God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. See, everywhere you go, there are four powerful entities present. You, God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. Now, somebody going to be able to come against that and prevail? The answer is no. But you need to believe that so that you can begin to see it. And when we take on this kingdom economy mindset, the way we do things changes, because at that point, we have Christian mayors. At that point, we have Christian business leaders. At that time, at that point, we have Christian architects and people who are doing things, and Christian writers, and so and Christian network hosts and owners. And see, we have to understand that the body of Christ is greater than we have allowed it to be. And so for too long, we have allowed ourselves to be marginalized to the position where we are looking for handouts from the world instead of the world coming to us for answers, when we have major sections of the world in blight, major sections of the world in poverty, major sections of the world in sickness and disease and lack and bloodshed. And see, God's concern is that these souls that are in these troubled places get what they need. But we have to understand in the kingdom how to use the power that we have right in our midst, because there are people in our houses in need. There are people in our neighborhood in need. There are people in our church in need. That just should not be in the body of Christ, because there is more than enough. There is more than enough. We don't live in lack. Our God owns everything. And see, we serve a living God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And we have to look like it. And we have to act like it. So I'm going to ask Pastor Carver again what she has to say about the kingdom of God, because I know that this is something that is manifest, especially among women in the world, and writers especially.
It goes back to the scripture that came to mind, which I'm going to, Matthew 6, and Jesus is the Sermon on the Mount, when he talks about you cannot serve two masters. You'll either hate one and love the other, be devoted to one and not the other. But he also says in verse 24, before that, how we have to seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And even before that, if we just read the chapter 6 of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, as specifically he does address needs of the physical world. And if you think about the audience and the people that he was teaching to, these were people that were maybe what we would call today poor, who were living from hand to mouth, were struggling with the oppression of the Romans. They were under Roman rule. And so they were an oppressed people. And everything that comes with the oppressed comes the need about survival. Everything is about survival. And even in the body of Christ, we see that same mentality. And it does compete with this kingdom mentality that we're supposed to have. We're trying to survive. We're trying to make it. We're trying to make sure I take care of me and mine. And I do believe, just like Bishop Carver mentioned, what are one of the things that I think get in the way of that mentality, and why we don't seem to thrive in it in a consistent basis, why don't we see it more in the body of Christ, is because of the me and mine, but also I do believe that people are being oppressed. There's a level of bondage that we do see when there's oppressed, but there's freedom when we have Christ, and we have to know how to seek first the kingdom of God. When you talk about the spirit of mammon, which is basically in the Hebrew, it's the word for wealth or rich, but it also is the pursuit of wealth. That's more of the issue that Jesus was speaking about, is to pursuing to get rich, pursuing to be wealthy, not just pursuing to take care of my needs and make sure my family's taken care of, even though if you start there, you'll end up in mammon. But it's more about the pursuit of wealth. And it's, if you look at it even deeper, when we see avarice and greed in our country, I believe it starts in the heart. And it is a pursuit, and it is a partnership, if you will, with that spirit, whatever it takes. I want to go deeper as we go on, too, about how it manifests in the body of Christ. I mean, we know how it manifests in the world, but I truly believe, and we all can attest to this, if we're honest, how it has creeped in certain segments in the body of Christ. It has a lot to do with motive, and we see it manifest, and it makes people not want to give freely, knowing that their giving protocol, so to speak, is a relationship with God. Yes, the kingdom needs to be built. Yes, we should be the resources. We have many resources in the body of Christ. But first we have to address, not focus so much on, but address the spirit of mammon that has come in. But yet Jesus spoke to that spirit and told them what to seek after. So I want to elaborate later as Bishop Carver begins to elaborate on his points about that part where Jesus really was giving us the answers. It manifests in the book of Acts. And just like my husband read, but I also want to see what God also has to say even deeper before Jesus was crucified, before he was buried, and before he rose, and before he ascended. What was he saying to these oppressed people? I truly believe that many of us are maybe not struggling financially in the body of Christ, but the church is being oppressed in so many different ways. Spiritually and naturally, even when we bring our talents to the marketplace, when people know what you believe and how you believe, you're going to be persecuted. That's part of it. But I want us to be encouraged tonight with what God is saying, especially through his word. So I'm going to let my husband continue to elaborate on his points.
Well, we are discussing the kingdom economy mindset versus the worldly economy mindset. And one of the things that Pastor Carver just told us that we really needed to pay attention to is that we cannot serve God and money, because the Bible tells us where our treasures are is where our heart is going to be. Our attention, our mindset, our concern is going to be on where what we treasure is. So if you are treasuring your soul and your reward that Jesus Christ is bringing with him when he returns at any moment, then you are focused on reconciling the world back to God and building the kingdom and pleasing God and serving God and trusting God and obeying God. That's pretty simple. But if you are concerned about your treasures and your stock on Wall Street and your real estate portfolio and the size of your bank and your Bitcoin and whatever else you got going on, these things that will not exist someday, you are wasting your time on things that are temporal, things that will not last, things that will not endure. So look at what it says here in John chapter 15, verses 4-7. It says, "Abide in me, Jesus Christ, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you." Now, see what I was speaking about earlier about Christian unity and what's available when we are united in Christ and we are connected to the vine being, you know, and Jesus Christ is the vine, we're the branches. And when we abide in him, we bring forth much fruit, and then we can do anything. But without being connected to the vine, we can't do anything. But if we abide in the vine, if we abide in Christ, in our word, in his words abide in us, it says here that we shall ask whatever we will, and it shall be done unto us. That's an absolute mindset, because God absolutely owns everything. You need to believe that. So in these seven spheres of influence that we're talking about when we talk about this kingdom economy mindset, the first is family, then there is government, then there is economics, then there is religion, then there is education, then there is media, then there is celebration. These seven spheres of society are ways for us to comprehend how we can impact the world most directly using our individual skills, strengths, talents, abilities, opportunities that God has presented to us individually based on where we can have the greatest impact for the kingdom. And so for some of us, it's in our family, which is a success all by itself because you're dealing with generational impacts of things that are spiritual and manifesting themselves in people's lives. We can also influence people in government. Right now, I know an awesome pastor, an awesome man of God running for the mayor of Indianapolis, and we're going to make this happen. We're going to do this in Indianapolis. And when you see the kingdom making strides like that, then, and even greater than that, then you know the power of the Holy Spirit's at work, because when you look at the worldly metrics, the first thing that's going to happen is it's going to say, this can't be done. And then you're going to watch God do it. And having been in business for the past, goodness, 30 plus years, in various at various times. My last company, though, has been in business for the past 26 years. And often you're going to see situations where the circumstances say it can't be done, and then we're going to watch God do it. The third sphere of influence is economics. And once again, in economics, the idea of buying high and selling low and people looking at the worldly economy and what's going on has no impact on what's available to us because our Heavenly Father still owns everything. If anything, what happens is during those times of extreme chaos, our ability to be at peace and focus creates unique opportunities for God to do things that he couldn't otherwise do. I know that during the pandemic, there was a lot of restoration that took place in the kingdom. There was, because people had time to stop and think, people had time to settle down. You know what happened during the pandemic? The hole in the ozone layer closed because we weren't driving our cars. This is outrageous. And it wasn't even that long of a period of time. But because we were not doing something that we typically do, the ozone layer closed. The hole in the ozone closed. And of course, that's not the case anymore because the pandemic is over. But we have there what we do has an impact on the entire world. So look at this other area. We talked about family. We talked about government. We talked about economics. Religion. Religion is supposed to be our area of expertise, right? Well, when we look at God's promise that whoever seeks him will find him, when we believe that, and we see people seeking God, instead of judging where they are seeking him at the moment, we have to respond to their sincere heart to seek, know, and understand God, understanding that none of us were born with the answers. Somebody had to share the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of God's son, Jesus Christ, with us. And just because we were raised in a godly household, some of us very Christian household, does not mean that we had a full knowledge and understanding of what that is. And so when we are in this system, when we're in this area of influence of religion, we have to ask ourselves, how are we contributing to the unity of the faith so that we are abiding in Christ and his words are abiding in us? How are we doing this? And is it happening in such a way where God is being glorified the way that he seeks to be glorified, the way that he is looking for us to acknowledge him and make his word a reality in our lives, in our life and in the lives of others? So I want to ask Pastor Carver what she has in mind in terms of encouraging others to engage in the areas of influence of family, government, economics, religion, education, media, and celebration.
I will address the thing about seeking first the kingdom of God and prioritizing your walk and your core beliefs in the word of God as it pertains to your gifts, talents, and your purpose in him, because that in itself will draw to you what you need, not just to do his will, but as it pertains to unity, as it pertains to being blessed to be a blessing in more than one dimensional, in more than one way. You'll really be able to see God's hand in your life as you just decide, I am going to take a business to the marketplace. I'm going to be significantly present in places of business, if that's what he's called you to do. I'm going to be significantly utilized and taking dominion in medical or, you know, in health, in the health field. You have to really make it your business and your core in your core how to seek first the kingdom of God. And that does take just going back to the word, reading and studying the word, praying before the Lord, being and fellowshipping around other like-minded believers, being in places of strong intercession for seasons of consecration as well. Because what you'll see is what you are, you'll draw to you. You'll not just draw what you need. You'll be able to help others. If your strength or your purpose is wrapped up in, let's say, maybe the community of those who are dealing, like single moms, let's just say that. Maybe you're really passionate about education, and that is not separate from your walk with God. So we can't be religious when we look at this economy and how things are set up, with the points that my husband was speaking about, with education, with religion and those different areas and finances. Truly, there are answers, and there are many great women and men of God that have written books and that they reference the Word of God and use the Word of God in their level of revelation that he's given them about this economy. I'm going to give a little background about how we discovered this topic and how we wanted to speak about it. We were given examples of a need. You begin to pray to God about a need. It can be something as simple as, I need to figure out how I want to build a house, right? And I would prefer to, but I don't have the resources right now. And God begins to give you a financial plan. Then he begins to have you have a conversation with different people in the body of Christ who may know some house builders, who may know some mortgage companies, or who may know someone to help you build the house. You'd be surprised how like-minded people think alike, how we like-mindedness think alike. But I think if we have the mind of Christ and have the heart of, and have the mind of Christ and have the heart of God. And I just say that because our heart is where all these motives come from, and they breed either good things or negative things. And we have to be honest about the things that we decide to give. God wants to touch every aspect of our life. So I truly believe, Bishop Carver, if we seek first the kingdom of God and begin to lay it out in our journal or something, God will begin to send resources to us. And it first starts in studying. Then the studying and the wisdom and everything that we get through studying, he begins to open up doors where that can be applied, so that it's not just theory, but it'll be something that'll be easily applied in our life, and we will see kingdom working in us, through us, and through others.
One of the things that I think is really important for us to understand is to get to the point where we really walk into this command from God to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Because God's desire is that he wants to give us what the world is killing themselves to get. The world is killing themselves to get money. The world is killing themselves to get houses and land. The world is killing themselves to get influence and fame and notoriety. And God says, hey, you know what? I'll give all that stuff to you, but you just got to seek my kingdom first. You got to seek my righteousness first. And that comes through unity, Christian unity. But the only way to get there in the body of Christ is to live a life of forgiveness, where we forgive people openly. And one of the hardest parts about this Christian walk is that the people who we are now brothers and sisters with, these were once our enemies. These were once our captors. These were once our oppressors. These were once our adversaries. And now they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have to realign our mindset and our thinking so that we don't see them according to the flesh, but we see them according to the spirit, because that's going to open opportunities where they would otherwise be closed. And we are not separated by borders and kingdoms and dominions of men. We are not separated by classes and by skin color and by language. We are not. We are not. In fact, we are united through the Spirit. See, in Acts, on the day of Pentecost, when the cloven tongues, like as a fire, was manifested upon them, the fire split and landed on the head of each of them, but it came up to one source. That was a sign of the Christian unity that we have through the Holy Spirit of fire. See, how we are brought in by blood and by fire is we are united through the fire of the Holy Spirit. And see, that level of Christian unity devours anything that comes in its way. But we have to be doing God's things God's way. That means we have to be praying secretly. We have to be fasting secretly. We have to be doing our good deeds secretly, like when that deacon put that $500 in my hand and said, get some suits, right? That wasn't a big display and, I'm going to give this brother here in need some money, this, that, and other here. Look at what I'm doing for. No, nobody knew about that. And so then after you do those three things secretly, you pray secretly, you fast secretly, you do your good deeds secretly, then you have to forgive openly, because the forgiveness is the real manifestation of God's power, because it's what you can't do without the Holy Spirit. You're not going to forgive somebody who was your master, your overseer before, someone who enslaved you, someone who brutalized you or your people. You're not going to embrace that person without the power of the Holy Spirit, because you're going to have to be able to forgive them, and you're not going to forgive them without the Holy Spirit. That's just a fact. So look at what it says here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. It says, therefore, do not be like them. Don't be like these people who pray openly to be seen, and they fast openly to be seen, and they do their good deeds openly to be seen. And they forgive, they don't secretly. They'll forgive to do a deal temporarily. They'll put their axes and guns away for a minute in order to take advantage of a business opportunity. See, you see, they're serving mammon in the world. They'll get along for a moment to make some money, and they'll forget about what divides them and focus on making money, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we have to get like that in the kingdom and stop being silly. Right? That level of unity, they can achieve that in the world because of their allegiance to money. They will bow down to money. They have this saying in the world, if it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense, right? That's their motive. That's their motto. But in the kingdom, it is seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, and then God just gives you all that stuff that they're killing themselves to get. You know that other saying, they have money never sleeps, right? They justify burning themselves out and drugging themselves into perpetual lack of sleep in service to a dollar. See, because you can't halfway serve mammon. If you serve mammon, you got to go all in. Same thing with God. You're going to serve God, you got to be all in. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. God says that's not acceptable. It's not going to happen. You can't serve both masters. You're going to serve me or you're going to serve the world. Stop deceiving yourself. Own what it is that you really want, what you really desire, right? And that's not such an easy decision if people get honest. But when they get honest and when they get clear, you can walk into a verse like Revelation 22:11. And let the righteous be righteous, and let the wicked be wicked. Let the filthy be filthy, and let the holy be holy. And stop trying to make holy people righteous and righteous people wicked. And see, that's what happens when you try to split your allegiance. You got gangsters who want to be godly, and they know that their real commitment is to the dollar by any means necessary, and they will kill you. And they're committed to death. And then there are those of us who are in the kingdom who know we will do anything to win these souls for the kingdom, and we're committed to life. and that when we die, we're going to die for God, because when we live for God. There's, you can't halfway do this, right? So look at this prayer here. It says, therefore, do not be like them. Don't be like them. Don't be like the hypocrites, the people trying to put one foot in each world. Stand in the kingdom mindset of God, not the worldly mindset of serving mammon. Do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. And that's in this manner, therefore, pray. So God knows what you need before you even ask. God says that when you abide in, what Jesus Christ said, when you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And so now they ask Jesus Christ, how do we pray? How do we pray, Lord? And he said, look, I want you to pray like this. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So pray in this manner. Say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. See the focus? Your kingdom come. Our focus is on God's kingdom, seeking first the kingdom, right? This is how it's done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So now you're acknowledging God's will being done on earth as well as in heaven. Give us this day, today, our daily bread. So we're focused on our 24-hour allotment of God's grace and God's mercy. And we know God's grace are all of his unmerited favor that we didn't ask or deserve. And it is also his enabling power that allows us to do anything he gives us to do. And then it's also his mercy that is the judgment, the punishment we deserve that we don't get. It's withheld from us daily. But it says, give us this day our daily bread. We live in our 24-hour compartment of God's grace and mercy. And then it says, and forgive us our debts. So we have debts. We have debts. We have obligations that we may not be able to meet at this moment as we forgive our debtors. So now you have God's grace with the daily bread, and you have God's mercy. And in this acknowledgement of God's mercy, God asking God to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. See, we're acknowledging that two-way exchange. Said we're going to be forgiven, but then we're going to be forgiven so that we can forgive those who owe us. That's a huge thing. And then it says, and do not lead us into temptation. So we're praying to God, don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. See, it all focuses on God's kingdom and God's glory and God's dominion and God's power. And so when we are in that pool, then we are transcending all of the limits that the world would place on you through how they are required to please people. They are required to serve money. They are required to lean to their own understanding. They are required to operate out of their own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. But we are not subject to such limits. We operate out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. And we have the ability to reach up into the kingdom and request whatever it is we need and require. And when we are in proximity to one another, because we are fellowshipping together, then the Holy Spirit will lead you to the resources that you need to have access to so that you can identify the person who has the relationship that gives you access to what you need so that you can do what God has given you to do. And there is no lack in the kingdom. There is nothing but mighty, abundant provision of resources when we ask, when we allow the words of Jesus Christ to abide in us and we abide in those words. It says we will ask what we will and it shall be done unto us. God is not a man that he could lie, and what he is saying is so. So we have to stand on that promise and not get trapped into this do-it-yourself mentality that takes us into the bondage of the world when God has called us to be free. So Pastor Carver, Vanessa, What is it that you have for us today that is going to allow us to joyfully embrace this kingdom economy mindset so that we understand that it is greater than what the world has?
The unity part is key in this topic, and we have to focus on what we have versus what we don't have. And what I mean by that is spiritually and naturally. We may have someone in the body of Christ at our church, our local church, brick and mortar that sells something, right? Let's just start there. And it's something maybe that we want to support. But also, even better, it's something that we may need. That's even better. We're good at supporting each other in the body of Christ, aren't we? We hear about somebody selling something, somebody's kid is doing a fundraiser. We're quick to say, oh, come, I'll buy, and, you know, I'll support. But really, I think God is saying something bigger with this mentality, right? I believe he's saying, how, if there's a need, is it in the house? Is it in the body of Christ? Whether it's at your local church or someone else's church or someone else, if you know that is truly a Christian, and that doesn't mean you're looking at their life under a microscope. You have to start wherever the Holy Spirit leads you. Have a pure heart and pray, Lord, I have a need. I want to make some investments. Is there somebody in the body of Christ that you could lead me to that is a financial planner? Right? Start there. It truly is. I truly don't believe it's complicated, Bishop Carver. I don't believe it's as hard. But let's just say it's based on more of a need, not just I'm going to support. Right? So I had a need last week, and it was something really simple that I have to do every week. And I prayed about it. I prayed from my heart and I believed God. And I was talking to an individual in the body of Christ, not even about this need. We were talking about something else because we were working on a separate project. Come to find out, while I was talking to this person, the Holy Spirit said, ask her based on what this need is. Not only did she help me meet the need, but I helped her meet a need by sharing the need that I had. And that was one of the examples that my husband also mentioned about somebody seeing he had a need based upon the suits and the babies and stuff. And I've had people put money in my hand and not knowing what my need was, not to support me, but to meet a need. They didn't always know what the need was. They were being obedient. Let's have the mind to be obedient. Let's have the mind to say, I have a need. And it's just like what Bishop Carver also mentioned about we have all these resources we want to go to. That's the first default thinking is I'm going to go and I'm going to ask so-and-so when the need might be in the house. And I'm not talking about your denomination, and I'm not talking about the limited of your denomination or the limited venues in your church. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Even on the web, if you need some graphic design done, if you have a need, let's begin to pray as the body of Christ in a place of unity and say, Lord, show me where I can be a blessing to someone because they're helping me meet a need. It is available to us. I think we need to make this more of a habitual response to a need, whether it's I need somebody to cater a party for me, or I need someone to help edit a book for me that I'm writing. I will end by saying this. The need is the house.
And just like the need is in the house, Pastor Carver, the provision is in the house. And that is a dynamic truth because there was no lack in the Acts 2 church. And there is no lack among us when we give what we have to God and we say, God, increase my seed. And when you put a seed into the ground, it becomes something else. It no longer becomes a seed. because its root goes down and then the blade comes up and then it grows into the stalk and then it grows into the ear of corn and you see the fruit. And what's dynamic about fruit is fruit has seed. And that one seed that planted in the earth and basically died, it was no longer a seed at that point. It became a plant. But then it produced fruit. And that fruit became many seeds. And that's what God wants from each and every one of our lives. He wants us to have a fruitful Christian life that is more than abundant. So the more than abundant life is your spiritual abundance by first tapping into your relationship with God, by seeking first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, and then allowing the mental abundance of peace and knowledge of God coming to you as you study God's word, as you pray, as you fast, but really studying God's word so that you can renew your mind to the word and replace what you think with what the word of God says. Then your emotional abundance of peace is going to come from doing what the word of God says, so that you can be obedient in the things of Christ and you can qualify yourself to have all of these promises that God has when he says, when you abide in his words and the words of his son, Jesus Christ, when you abide in his word and his word abides in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you, right? That gives you emotional peace. And then your physical peace is really going to come from having the wisdom to know when to fast and when to feast. And there's a time to feast and there's a time to fast. And then your financial abundance, your financial wholeness is going to come from you understanding how the kingdom economy works and how we are not duplicating or dumbing down the kingdom resources, the kingdom economy to the standards of this world. The standards of this world are absurd when compared to the things of God. We are not trying to copy the world. The world is trying to figure out what God is doing that allows him to do what he does. And many of these principles can be copied and duplicated, but from where they originate is the throne of God. And so we have to get to the point where we own what we already have. Somehow Adam and Eve were talked out of having dominion over the entire world, which was in a state of pristine newness. Everything was new. Everything was fresh. Everything was the best. It was theirs. God gave them dominion of it and said, subdue it, multiply, and be fruitful. And the command to us is the same, but you know what? We're not in the world that Adam and Eve was in. Everything they had was perfect, and they had God with them and in them, and they were able to be talked out of that. So in their position, if they could be talked out of what they had, how easy is it for the devil to talk you out of what you have? And that's why we need to stay in the word. We need to study God's word. We need to stay in fellowship with like-minded believers that we see doing this, because it's not enough to know it. It's not enough to talk about it. You got to see people doing what the word says, and it's not always going to look neat and pristine. It's not always going to look like what we think it should look like, but that's not what matters. What matters is that we are fruitful in our walk with Christ. So God is asking us to produce in our life in the midst of mighty temptations and trials and persecutions, asking us to continually produce love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control in our life so that we can manifest his presence in the world and draw all men to his son, Jesus Christ, so that they can come into relationship with God Almighty as his child. And that is what we're doing. Because when people see you using the power of God in what you do, it is going to convince them that they don't have to stay in bondage to pleasing people, in bondage to serving money, in bondage to leaning to their own understanding and trusting themselves, in bondage to operating out of their own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. But we're going to be able to show them it's possible to please God, possible to serve God, possible to trust God, possible to obey God by operating out of the unlimited power of his Holy Spirit. So look at what it says here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 21. It says regarding laying up our treasures in heaven, it says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if your treasure is in gold bars, then your heart is going to be concerned about your security system, strength of your vault, the integrity of your security personnel, the credibility of your insurance institution that is backing the value of your gold that is in your safe, that is secured by those personnel who are just people and is insured by the secure, or that is also protected by the security system and insured by whatever insurance company is going to cover the value of your gold in the event that it is stolen or that it is damaged. But when you are putting your treasures in heaven, you don't have this concern. You don't have that stress. You don't have that bondage because your treasure is where it cannot be touched and it is eternal. And it is going to be beneficial to you. You know, what's interesting is in business, there are two things, time and money. And those measures are interesting, but we know that in the kingdom, time is eternal. And when we talk about the fact that it took us nine months in our mother's womb to prepare us for 70 to 120 years of life on earth, this 70 to 120 years of life on earth in this body is preparing our soul for eternity. And we have to let that be to our benefit. And we have to understand that what we do now is going to affect our eternity, our eternal reward. And just imagine if our mother had not behave properly during the 9 months we were being formed in the womb, what our existence would be like on earth. Same thing. If we don't do this correctly during this 70 to 120 years on earth, then our eternity is going to be impacted. And who wants to be eternally without rewards, without crowns, without the ability to serve and function in the kingdom, without the ability to rule with Christ in eternity? We have to put our focus on the things of God. So I want you to really consider what it is God has for you. And I want to leave this last verse with you so you can really get this. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters, or he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. And I'll tell you, look at what it says. You will either hate the one and love the other, or else you'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. That's a hard word, because what God is saying is the first and great commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's like, you can love me or you can love money. you can be loyal to me and you can despise money, or you can love money, be loyal to money and despise me. Doesn't that sound crazy? How are we going to despise God who loved us so greatly that even when we were his enemies, he sent his son to die for us and then called us to be in relationship with him when we made his son our master? That's real. And we have to get to the point where we stop playing around with God and let the reality of God in our life be manifest in the world so that somebody else's life improves. Somebody else comes into relationship with God. Somebody else begins to see that this isn't a joke. This isn't a game. This isn't a social nicety. This isn't something we do to get along, to go along, to get along, to not be animals. We are in another kingdom, subject to another set of rules, subject to another set of priorities, subject to another reality that is cosmic in nature, that is unlimited in scope and dimension, that is universal. In fact, to walk into that so that we can operate in the heavenlies as well as the earthly realm. So I'm going to let Pastor Vanessa have some final words, and then we're going to end with prayer and a song.
I'm going to end with prayer because I want everybody to be encouraged and to know that we are praying and interceding for you, really the body of Christ as a whole, because it's available to us. We just have to choose. And it's really simple. Father God, thank you today for your love and your presence that's over us, always around us, enabling us, empowering us, making us more than conquerors, to choose to be united, to have economy that's something that's in word and deed that we have access to on a daily basis. I pray, Lord, today that your people, that all of us, Father God, begin to examine our hearts and our motives for why we do what we do when it comes to resources, when it comes to what we do with our everyday life, our work, our life, how we worship together, how we meet needs. Are we just concerned about our own, or are we more concerned about our community or our world as a whole? Father God, open up the eyes of our hearts so that we will have great understanding and more insight about how this works. Show us, Father God, today also in areas of our life where we serve mammon, the pursuit of wealth, the pursuit of keeping up with the Joneses, the place where we're being competitively financial, where we call ourselves power couples because we have amassed so much, and look at us. I thank you, Lord, today that we be in the world and not of it, that we don't take on the principles of the world. Lord, we know you love us. Show us, Father God, what we're made of. Help us, Lord, to remember our identity in Christ and what that means and how that is manifested in the world on a daily basis. Thank you, Lord, today that you've made all things available to us and that you enable us and strengthen us to be more than conquerors in word and deed as it pertains to kingdom living. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, Pastor Carver. And as always, from God's great love for us and Spirit Alive Network, be ye transformed.
Being afraid. Every heart show me your face. Come fill this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you.